Praise the Lord Jesus. It's Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, we want to praise you and thank you and worship you for this beautiful, glorious, magnificent day that you have made. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and God of Gods, and we're so grateful to be your children in these last days. Lord, we thank you that you're coming soon. You told us in your word to look for you every day as you're coming. This could be the year that the Lord returns, that he descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. So look for his coming. He's coming. Lord, we praise you and thank you for the privilege that we have to look for you and to expect your coming soon. Now, Lord, if we teach the word today, let the word go out and give such great revelation and wisdom and knowledge and understanding that we all might learn who we are and what we can do in the name of Jesus as we read your word. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. We're talking about the power of confession, the power that you have when you confess the word of God. When you begin to read this book, you begin to see the magnificence of what has been given to us as Christians. For many a year, I had no idea of what belonged to me as a son of God. But when I begin to read this book in great detail, I begin to see things in here that I thought, if these things are really real, then I can do some wonderful things in the name of Jesus. So I began to ask questions. People would tell me, even doctors of theology, that this did not mean what it said. Well, one day I decided to believe Jesus instead of men. And when I began to act on the Word of God, I begin to see Jesus do some awesome things. Now then, let me take you to an example of what I'm talking about, a verse that seems so powerful, it seems too good to be true. When you read these verses, the enemy will deceive you, and he will make you think that these verses will not work, or he'll keep you in some kind of a sin, and as long as you have any kind of an unconfessed sin in your life, more than likely these things will not work for you. Because the Lord says in his word in Psalm 66:18 that if you hide iniquity or sin in your heart, he will not hear your prayer. So the first secret is make sure you get all your sins confessed and make sure you're walking in obedience to God's word. When you are, then verses like this will work for you. Listen to what he said in John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Now the Lord fully expects his disciples to walk wholly before him, and then ask in faith, and see him do these great and mighty things for us. Now John 15:7, as you see here, has a requirement. It says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Well, now, if you will study the Word of God, you'll make Jesus Lord of your life, and you'll read his Word every day and pray and worship and praise him and thank him, I mean, just basically all day long as you go, be thinking about the Lord, praising him, worshiping him, thanking him, just loving him in all that you do. That's abiding in him. It says, if you abide in me, in Christ, and my words abide in you. Well, how does his words abide in you? Well, you read them and study them, and then you speak them, and that's how his words abide in you. He says, if you will do that, then you shall ask what you will. That means anything. That's a blank check. He will do anything you ask. And I've seen the Lord do mighty awesome things when we pray like this. Now look at John 16:23 and 24. Here's some awesome promises. In John 16:23, and in that day you will ask me nothing. What day? He's talking about this day, the day that we live in. But he was talking about every day after his death, burial, and resurrection. And in that day you will ask me, Jesus, nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? Well, let me tell you, it's true. I took that verse right there. I've seen the Lord do awesome things with that verse. But that verse right there, I took that set of verses in John 16, 23 and 24, and a little girl that was going to have very serious periods of time recovering from a car wreck, pelvic crushed, head busted open. I quoted these promises right here to the King of the universe, and I stood on his word in bold faith in front of everybody and told him the Lord would do a great and mighty work in her life and raise her up and do such a mighty work of restoration, everybody would know that only he could have done it. And a little girl that was told that it would be a minimum of 2.5 to 3 months before she could walk with a walker, in 2.5 weeks was back in school, running and playing as if nothing happened. What did that verse say? John 16, 23 and 24. And in that day, the day that we're in, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatsoever or whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Who do you ask? You ask the Heavenly Father. How do you ask him? In the name of Jesus. You cannot come before the throne of grace, like Hebrews 4:16 says. No way except by the throne. I cannot come by the throne of grace. No way except by the blood of Jesus. But by the blood, you can come in there anytime you want to, because the blood cleanses and purifies you from all unrighteousness and makes you the righteousness of God in Christ. So if you make sure all your sins are repented of and you're walking in obedience to God's word, you're an obedient child of God, then you can come into the throne of God and you can ask him for these things and he'll do it for you. And like I say, that little girl that was not going to be able to walk for 2.5 to 3 months, I saw her back in school running and playing in 2.5 weeks with those two promises. Let me tell you, only God could have done something like that for this little girl. The doctors were amazed and astounded, but Jesus made the promise. Who are you going to believe, God or the lie of the devil? Well, it's unfortunate. I believe the lie of the devil far too many years. Then look at Mark chapter 16. Let's look at what we can have here in our confession. And we will possess what we confess. Mark 16, 17, and 18. Now this is in my Bible. I hope it's in yours. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 says, "And these signs will follow those who believe." So, maybe the reason this is not done very much in many churches, maybe there's not very many believing believers. But that's sad also. If you're one of those unbelieving believers, start believing the Word of God. Then start acting on the Word of God, and you will begin to see the King, and His name is Jesus, do great and wonderful things for you. Listen to what He said. "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, the name of Jesus, you shall cast out demons. You will speak with new tongues." Goodness, how many churches do you know today, or maybe you're a member of one, that does not believe in demons? Surely doesn't believe you have power over them. Does not believe in speaking in tongues. But the Word of God says you can. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. It just comes down to a fact. Who are you going to believe? God or the traditions of man? Jesus said, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." He's talking about the corporate believers. It should follow all of us. "In my name we shall cast out demons. We shall speak with new tongues." And then in verse 18 he says, "They will take up serpents." Now that's the devil himself he's talking about there. "And you shall take up the devil," or a demon, or in the scriptures written a snake or a serpent. But of course that's talking about the devil and his demons. "And if you drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt you. You will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Now, I think how many times in my life I have acted on these verses and the magnificent things I have seen the Lord do when I acted on His Word. He says there, first of all, we shall cast out demons. Well, how do you cast out a demon? The first thing you got to realize that is that is our problem in the church today is demons or evil spirits. lot of people have a problem believing that an evil spirit or a demon can come inside of a person that's a born-again Christian. But they certainly can. They can come into your flesh, your body, and they can even get into your soul if you're not careful. But it's very difficult for them to get into your spirit. Now, that part right there, if they get into your spirit, you're in deep trouble. I only know of one case that I was told where a demon was able to penetrate a person's spirit after they got saved, but they died and went to hell because it was shown to a pastor in a vision, and I was told. So it's kind of scary. But the thing about it is, yes, you as a Christian can most definitely have a demon in your flesh. Those demons that are in your flesh are the ones that make you sick and afflict you. They're the ones that put pain and suffering on you. All you got to do is make sure your sins are repented of, make sure you're walking holy before God, then make sure you're walking in faith, and then you can drive out one of these demons. Now, if you don't believe you can drive them out, well, they're just going to keep on tormenting you. If you don't repent of your sins and get into a state of holiness with God, you're not going to cast them out either. If you got a grudge against someone, you're never going to get rid of that demon until you repent and get right with that person and tell God you're sorry for holding that grudge. You've got to do it God's way. When you get right with God, then you can drive out demons, and then you can see people saved, healed, and delivered. But Jesus said we shall drive out demons. He says we shall speak with new tongues. We shall take up the devil or serpents. And he says, if we drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt us. Now, how in the world could you drink something deadly? Well, now, that could be any kind of poison. It could be a sting. It could be you could drink it. You could get food poison. You could eat something. But any kind of a sting of a bee or a snake or anything, even Paul, when the snake bit him on the finger, the very poisonous snake, Paul didn't sweat it. He knew who he was in Christ. He just threw the snake over into the fire. I mean, even the natives there, they knew that snake was very poisonous, and they thought Paul was going to swell up and die any minute. And then they realized he was not. They thought he was a murderer. He was going to die. Said he escaped to sea. But justice is going to have its way. He's going to die because he got bit by this poisonous snake. But let me tell you, it was just the devil trying to get Paul one more time. Paul was an obedient Christian. When you're an obedient son of God, no curse can come upon you. The devil cannot take you out. The Lord says here that if we get any deadly poison in us, if we make sure we've repented and claim this promise in the Mark 16:18, it will not hurt us. And then he says, we shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Quite a promise, isn't it? You ought to learn to do this. It works extremely well. I've done it hundreds of times. We'd like to invite you to call us, 940-242-2106. We'll send you free audio, video, CDs, DVDs, or you can get to us on the web and we'll send it to you. It's www.tlsm.org. And that's our website, and you can order free and postpaid materials from that, or call us, 940-242-2106. And remember, Jesus is Lord.